In the toughest city in America.
We got a shooting at 5th Broadway. All units respond.
An evil crime boss consumed with greed.
How many kids have we addicted to crack this week?
52.
That's not enough. Find more playgrounds.
Is turning the streets red with blood.
We're getting eaten alive out here. Send in our best man.
But when the city goes to hell,
the wave of violence shows no sign of ending.
One cop goes to work.
Who the hell are you, man?
It's-a me, Mario.
Damn it, Mario. That's the 5th squad car you wrecked this week.
I've got to clean up on a crime.
I don't care how good you are. You're off the force.
He doesn't play by the rules.
You're gonna tell me what I want to know. And you're gonna tell me before you run out the fingers.
He makes them.
You can't kill me. I work for crime boss Koopa.
Well, I hope he's giving you death benefits.
He was once a simple plumber.
I'm going to work, honey.
Until the day they killed his brother.
Luigi, what happened?
Mario, I'm so cold. I'm dead.
Koopa!
And now they better bring their wallets, because there's going to be hell to pay.
I want his princess dead.
Why must you do this, Mario?
I didn't start this war. But I'm going to finish it.
Yeah, you can't bring me down. I'm the elected mayor.
There's just been a recount.
From the company that brought you Pokemon and the Virtual Boy.
They put the one of ours in the hospital?
Comes a greedy crime saga.
We put the one of theirs in the morgue.
That will leave you breathless.
Ah, it's Mario. What's to stop me from blowing your ass away right now?
Because I'm covered with dynamite.
Oh, shit.
Police files, Mario Squad.
What the hell's that?
Koopa's head in the bucket. They were out of a silver platters.
This time, it's personal.
Hello, everyone out there in computer land. Welcome back to the BenHeck.com, should we say podcast? I mean, do you think Steve...
Or Zunecast.
Zunecast, yeah. How about a Zunecast? Boy, I sure love Windows XP operating system, don't you, Jones?
Yes.
It's clearly
fantastical.
The best.
Fantastical. It's fantastical. There's a great word. And incredibly secure. Pisses all over Linux and Mac.
Yes, Dave... Campbell, how many times did he have to reinstall his computer when he tried to put Linux on it? I mean, it seemed like it was a flaming disaster.
I think it's still dead, actually.
Send all hate mail to benjamin.heckendorn@gmail.com. Sorry, we had to get our little roast in there. But I guess we could also call this a PODCAST.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Although I think that was unsubstantiated because I never saw anything about them wanting to revoke the use of the word podcast.
Yeah, so. Well, it was a little more substantiated than this. Sony's going to charge $1 for all game demos on their on their PS3, but we'll have to see.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, this is the BenHeck.com cast. I'm Ben Heck. Actually, my name is Ben Heckendorn. And
you just shortened your name. And I'm Jason Jones. Okay.
Yes, my new name is going to be J-Lo or Tarsum or something.
I could be like J-Joe.
Are you from the block? This episode's topics, it's episode 4, you know. Our topics today are game prices. The price of games are now like $60. I mean, more or less.
Oh my God.
Is this too much? Is it not enough? Sony probably thinks so. We will discuss. Topic 2, the value of an online component in a console. Will it make or break systems in the future? These are very deep topics. And topic 3 is just kind of a throwaway topic. Games of the future! What sort of advances will we see in consoles 10 or 20 years from now? How will we control them? What will they look like? We're just going to spitball it and see what we come up with. All right. Any gaming news, Jones, or anything that you've played lately that we could say as kind of a general roundtable thing before we get started?
I've been playing LEGO Star Wars 2 lately, which rocks, by the way.
Oh,
as
yeah.
As you know, you played the demo, I guess. So.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to drive down to Belleville and help you defeat the Galactic Empire.
Yes, again,
Maybe we have a shitty movie night this weekend or something.
Yes.
Try it out. And speaking of shitty movies, I read on some website, I think it was Joystick, that Ooey Toilet Bowl is going to make Blood Rain 2.
The world has been clamoring for a sequel, of course.
It's amazing. We can't get a Serenity 2, but we can get Blood Rain 2. And I don't see how it could have made any more money. What is even released in theaters here? Like one screen in Madison, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was on the east side, so we didn't even think it was worth the bother.
Yeah, we live on the west side.
Yes.
Homie.
West side. But, yeah, we wanted to see a piece of crap in the theater, but it was like, you know, east side's just too far away. It wasn't even worth the effort. So, and it was gone in a week, I think. So.
Yeah, it was literally.
And on DVD like 3 weeks later, so.
Oh, Blood Rain. Ooey Bowl has to get as many movies started before the closure of the German tax loophole. God. Anyway, yeah. I've been playing table tennis on the Xbox 360. It's an interesting game.
Yeah, and I was also playing Test Drive Unlimited, which is pretty wicked, too, where you just get to cruise around Hawaii and buy houses and cars and challenge people to duels. So.
Cool. Are there a lot of people playing that?
Yeah, there's like tons of people online.
Awesome.
It's pretty cool. So.
Perhaps that will reverse Atari's fortunes.
Yes.
Or Infogrames or whatever that company's called. All right, well, let's get this show on the road. Starting with game pricing. Third-party Xbox 360 titles are $60 now, and first-party are $50. And sounds like pretty much all the PS3 titles will be $60, so I guess that's the new normal.
Yeah, and the Wii, I guess, I know first party for the Wii, they said it's going to be $50, but I haven't heard as far as third party, so.
Probably the same. Yeah, so once again, the Wii is not terribly that much cheaper.
Yes.
But obligatory Wii bash there. What can I say?
Nice job, Ben.
Oh,
couldn't resist, could you?
Nope. I didn't even try to resist. That's one wagon I like to fall off. Anyway, well, what do you think, Jones? I mean, if you buy a game like Oblivion for $60, do you think it's worth $60?
Oh, definitely. In what was it, the first podcast or something, I talked about, you know, how I'd played it for 80 hours and all that and passed it, and I can still play it still even after clearing it or whatever, but it's like, you look at that, 80 hours, $60.
No, so that's like, what, 80 cents an hour?
Maybe like 75 cents an hour.
No, you make more than 75 cents an hour, don't you? I think you do.
Yeah, like maybe 10 cents.
You're
more
not
than that.
You're not like a Nike sweatshop.
No.
Employee, are you?
Close, right. But no.
Yeah, so, I mean, for $60, you got 80 hours of entertainment. Of course, now people out there are thinking, but no, games are 80 hours long, and this is true. Most are like true. 8 to 15. Yeah. It's still, I mean, okay, so what is that? Let's take $60 divided by 10 hours of gameplay. And why am I using a calculator to figure this out? All right, that's $6 an hour. Okay, so assuming that that's not much more than minimum wage. So assuming that you make at least that. So at least you're getting as much time as you put into it, which is kind of like breaking even, which isn't bad. But the thing is, help me out with this.
Well, it's like, if you look at different forms of entertainment and how they compare, like, let's say you go to a movie here in the Madison area, it's like
right.
$8.50, I think, to go to an evening showing of a movie.
Let's say you
go and see a two-hour-long movie, you spent $8.50 to see it.
Right,
that's
4.25 an hour.
Yeah.
But that's less than a game, so is that a better value?
But that's to get through the game. But with the game, you know, let's say you spend 10 hours getting through the game, but then you can go online, and which leads into another topic that we'll talk about more later. But
yeah.
But if you go online and you play it all the time online, you know, you're getting, let's say you get another 15 hours of use out of it by playing it online, well, then you're down to $2.66 or
yeah, that's
whatever.
True. And if you have some, kick-ass online game that is free, you know, like anything on a PC, or even if you factor in the cost of Xbox Live, you can get a lot more value than that. Like, you spend like $50 and like, well, what was the last one I had? Battlefield 2. And
yeah. Well, or if you have friends that come over and play it, you know, like me and my wife, we've played Star Wars Battlefront 2 like tons of times, and I can't even I mean, we'd sit down and play it, and it'd be 4 hours later, we'd be like, oh, crap, we better go to bed, you know, or whatever. And
right.
But we did that umpteen many times, so
right.
Definitely got my money out of that game. But
yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some games you might play, and like, this is, you know, oh, this game is so short. Like
King Kong, I heard that was really short. I didn't play
shorter
it.
Shorter than the movie?
Almost. Then, I think it took like 6 or 7 hours to get through the game.
Now that's what I heard. That's not too much longer than the movie.
Yeah.
Or like Prey was supposed to be really short, or the Max Payne series. Ooh, I spelled it wrong in my outline. I put an I in pain.
Oh.
Sorry, 3D Realms. get back to work on Duke Nukem Forever. But, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Okay, maybe if you break it down into brass tacks, it's maybe more expensive per hour than other forms of entertainment, but it's also, I think, better. I mean, on average, you know, you can pretty much know if a game's going to be good, whereas 90% of movies that come out are pretty much crap. At least that's my opinion.
Anymore, yeah.
So
it might even be more than 90% anymore.
Right, and the games cost money, but the budgets are going up, and if you want the next-gen graphics, you're going to have to pay for that. Now, of course, some people would say, well, then why do we need these next-gen graphics? And it's because they're cool to look at, and if you're involved in this alternate world or alternate reality, the closer it is to your own reality, the more you can believe in the fact that you're doing these things.
Yeah.
You know, if you're playing Grand Theft Auto and your car looked like something from the Atari 2600, you just like, oh, wow, I feel like a real badass. I'm driving around a bunch of pixels, you know?
Well, that's like the early Grand Theft Autos. They had that top-down view, and they weren't, you know,
and they didn't sell
as
well.
Popular. But then they came out with the 3D world and everything, and they sold like hotcakes.
Right.
Yeah, like games like Oblivion, too, to keep beating that horse. But with Oblivion, it's got all these different ways you can play the game. Like, you can go off and be a thief and play through the game as a thief, or you can go off and be a warrior, or you can do...
Well, could you really see, like, yourself, like, playing through that again?
Maybe after a while. Because I put a lot of... I mean, I got so hooked on it, you know, as... I just kept playing it and playing it and playing it, and then I finally got finished with it, and I was kind of like, okay, I'm ready to move on to something else now. But I actually played through all the different guilds, where if I wouldn't have done that, I might have been like, well, I'd like to go back and play the game as an elf or something now, and then try to go through the Dark Brotherhood this time. Mm-hmm. But I just used the same character and played through all the different clans or whatever you want to call them that you could get into, so...
Yeah.
But they at least offer a lot of different ways of playing the game, which seems to be more common anymore.
I've played through games a couple times before, not just like Contra. I mean, most of the games I've never played through Grand Theft Auto twice, but I know I played like Call of Duty 1 at least twice, Medal of Honor twice, God of War I went through I think almost 3 times. Yeah, I did. So. Yeah, you can get your value that way, especially this online. So, a lot of games probably aren't worth $60.
Yeah,
but a good game is worth $60.
Yes.
Just like a shitty, like Blood Rain is not worth paying $8.50 for in the theater. Well, maybe I might think it is because it's so hilariously bad.
And the thing too with the game price, it's like really if you look at it, $60 for a game. Yeah, it kind of sucks that it's not $50 anymore, but. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not really that big of a deal. I mean, when we were younger, they had Nintendo games that cost $70 because there was, like, the Romance of the Three Kingdoms and the Nibunga's Ambition.
Well, even the average ones were $50.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, there were $70 games when Street Fighter II came out for Super Nintendo. That was $75 when I got it. And that was, you know, over a decade ago, so it's
right,
not
and people
really...
bought it up. Now, if someone had a game that much now, there'd be, like, riots in the streets.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we'll pay $3 a gallon for gas. Yeah, let's move on. What about these games that are like $40? Like, Test Drive Unlimited is $40.
Yeah.
Now, that's a great value, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. Because, yeah, I bought it. I was a little worried at first when I saw it was going to be $40 because I was kind of like, oh.
You thought it would be too cheap?
I was like, yeah, it might be crap then if it's so cheap. But I played the demos off Xbox Live, and I was like, man, this is a pretty cool game. You know, it's a great deal to get it for $40. And what they're going to do, I guess, is each month they're going to release content downloads, which again ties into our next topic, but where you can download...
No, it's close enough. I would mention it now, yeah.
But you can download car packs and stuff like that each month, and they're actually going to have music downloads that go along with the car packs for each car. And but you don't need to do that. I mean, that game, like, to me, that game's awesome as it is. If they didn't release anything else for it, it would be plenty cool, because you get like 1,000 miles of roads on this island, and you just, you know, it's kind of open-ended. It's kind of like how Oblivion is. You can play it however you want. You can either go and pass through all the races and stuff, or you can just drive around the island. And
so it's on Oahu, right?
Yes.
So is there like a part where you had to watch out for like Michelle Rodriguez? She like try to run you off the road?
I almost hit her the other night, actually. She was drunk and driving in my lane, so.
You almost left tread marks in her face.
But yeah, so I like that game is a great value, but then the cool thing is they're going to add
would you
stuff
have paid, later. Here's a question. Okay, obviously you would have paid $60 for it then,
yes,
too.
Yeah.
But had, you know, it's kind of an unknown game, unknown developer.
Yeah.
If it had cost $60 and you hadn't known about it, would you have been as likely to buy it?
Like if I wouldn't have played the demo?
Let's say you had played the demo and it was $60.
I would have bought it.
Okay, yeah. What if you hadn't played the demo and it was $60?
I would have been skeptical, I think.
So maybe the $40, I hate this word, price point is a way to for lesser-known franchises to get a leg in, you know?
Yeah, because it's competing with Forza, and then, of course, you've got the Gran Turismo series over on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the king of the hill driving franchises for each system. So, yeah, it's probably their way of kind of getting their foot in the door. Kind of like the 2K sports games did a couple of years ago, where they brought out like their basketball and football games for $20, and their football game was light years better than Madden, which cost $50.
Well, you know, it's kind of like the Walmart philosophy. Let's say they charge $50 or $60 for Test Drive Unlimited, and they sold like 500,000 copies for $40. You know, what if they sell like 1 million? They're selling twice as much. I mean, they're not making as much per copy, but they sell more copies because of the lower price.
Yeah, and they make more money because of it.
Yeah, eventually. Maybe not as much. Okay, then the next time, then it'll be like $60. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's a place for that. And, like, Lego Star Wars was $40. Table Tennis was $40. And
yeah.
So, you know, I think that might be a up-and-coming trend, you know, like, for games to get in the door. And maybe even Xbox Live Arcade, because, like, a lot of the, I guess those games are starting to get kind of expensive to make now, that too.
Yeah.
I read someplace like the average budget for a high-end Xbox Live Arcade game is something like $600,000
or $800,000.
Wow. Yeah. So that's kind of an interesting topic, the point at which you'd buy a game. But again, having the demos is a great thing, especially for an unproven game like Test Drive Unlimited, especially when the demos are free.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that later.
Well, actually, here's one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you went out and bought Table Tennis.
Right.
You got to play the demo on my 360. That was a $40 game. Would you have run out and bought it if you hadn't played the demo, do you think?
Well, probably not.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's still a cheaper game, but even still, you know, you would have been...
I'm really cautious to buy a new game sight unseen.
Yeah.
You know, I bought Perfect Dark Side on Steam because it was from the people that made GoldenEye, and I'll buy God of War 2 the day it comes out. But, yeah, unless I play a game, I'm cautious. Because I don't play, this is going to shock people to death, I don't play as much video games as you do.
Yes.
Yeah. So I have to be more sure that it's worth the money, because I'm probably going to play it for like 15 hours, and that's it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the demos are a great way to... you know, check out if things are great or good or not. All right, well, the last thing I want to cover with the game pricing is just some numbers to bore you all to death. The pricing of video games versus the rate of inflation. So if we say, like, a top-tier, like, new game is was $50 in 1990, and now it's $60. And actually, it's not like it went 50, 51, 52, 53 over the years. It basically went from $50 to $60 in the course of, like, 2 years. That's 20% rate of inflation, and the actual rate of inflation since 1990 is about 37.5. And if I'm wrong, you know,
some
whatever.
Bean counter out there that's can correct
enough.
You or something.
Yeah. So even by that standard, the standard rate of inflation, that would mean a game would be $68.75 now, and it's not. It's cheaper. You know, it'd be nice if other things only rose 20% in price in 15 years. I mean, it would be really cool to get a gallon of gas for $1.38 now, or a new car for $17,000. Yes, I figured out these numbers today. I am kind of a geek that way. Or a house, you know, a new house would be about $144,000. Last time I checked, you couldn't really get one for that.
Yeah, mine was more than that.
Maybe like in Montana on a mountain. But
and I didn't even live, I don't even live right in Madison, and mine was more than that.
Yeah, you had to drive, Jones had to escape Madison to get the house.
Yeah, to be able to buy something decent.
Well, isn't it your house was actually cheaper than a condo even here in Verona to buy one, or it was like around the same price?
Yeah, it was cheaper. Because the condos are about 10 grand more than the whole house that we bought, which was brand new construction.
Yes. Oh, yeah. For everyone's information, we both live in like suburbs of Madison. I live in one right off Madison called Verona, although I just rent. And Jones is about 10 miles further south of town in the place called Belleville.
Yes, the UFO capital of the world, apparently. Self-proclaimed, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure Roswell would be like, sure, whatever, Belleville. Apparently there's a lot of UFOs around, get this, Port Washington.
No!
And anyone that writes up saying that could be a sequel idea, go punch yourself in the face.
Come on, somebody do it.
Here's an interesting one. 20% inflation, a new game system would be $240 now. And none of them are that cheap.
No.
They haven't been that cheap in a long time, actually.
No. The original PlayStation was $300 when it came out.
And the Saturn was $400 when it came out. And
jeez.
the Dreamcast was $300, wasn't it?
I thought it was... Or was it $200? I think it was $200.
Really? Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was $200. I remember I bought that thing and what on the day it came out. That's the only system I ever bought on the day it came out.
$200. Hmm.
We'll have to look that up, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. I could be wrong, though.
Hmm.
It's been a while ago, so I'm getting old.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I guess the moral of the story is as long as the games are good, they're worth the money, so... Play your friend's copy or get a demo from Xbox Live.
Rent it, whatever.
Rent it and make your decision using that. And if you do all those things and then still buy the game and then feel like you got ripped off, well, guess what? It's your own fault. So don't blame the companies. They have to keep their lights on, too. Okay, let's move on to our next topic. Wow, we're on schedule thus far.
Define on schedule.
Well, since we've completely given up all hope of making a 30-minute podcast... So I was like, why don't you just have one topic per podcast? And I'm like, yeah, but we only get one every 2 weeks, or 2.5 weeks in this case, so we got to load up our podcast. Anyway, our next topic is the value of the online component in next-generation systems, which sounds like a really dry white paper. But and this slide, you can see...
You get a free Slinky if you download the white paper. So.
Anyway, all the new game consoles... that are coming out now all have built-in online capabilities, unlike last time when only the Xbox One did. So I guess what we're going to be talking about is how valuable is that going to be in a console and how will it affect their sales? The fact that the console can go online doesn't really mean anything. It's the quality of the service and the content that is really going to make or break it. Because I'm sure all the systems can go online just fine, although the Wii doesn't have an Ethernet port for some reason that is kind of hard to comprehend.
Yeah.
Well, it's got like, what?
It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, well. Yes, considering how it has four GameCube controllers built in, what's one more port?
Yeah. Can't cost you that much more to...
Yeah, maybe that's why it doesn't have it.
Yeah,
anyway,
no room left.
I'm sure it's a lot cheap. I'm sure a port's a lot cheaper than a Wi-Fi chip.
Yeah. Mm. Cheaper than a blue diode, anyway, I guess.
And it exists. We need more blue diodes. What do you think, Jones? What do you think? How much value do you put in online gaming? Because you used to be kind of anti-online competition.
Yeah.
You're like, I hate all these punks online and blah, blah, blah. Look at me. I'm crotchety.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Here's that disc I keep forgetting to give you.
Oh, thank you. I've been waiting with bated breath.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah, I've owned a lot of game systems, and a lot of them have had online capabilities, and I've rarely actually played them online. Usually because you got a bunch of idiots. It seems like every time I would go online, there'd be a bunch of idiots out there, you know, that would just not make it fun. And, you know, they'd cheat or do whatever.
But you're talking on consoles.
Yes, yeah, not PC gaming. And so I just never got into it. The interesting thing with the 360... is I've had good experiences every time I've gone online playing games with it. Where, like, the original Xbox, I didn't. I couple of times, but not very often, where with 360, like, I've played Project Gotham, I've played Project Gotham Racing online, you know, and you think, oh, it's going to be a racing game, you're probably going to have idiots out there trying to crash you. Not really the case. I mean, I got in races with good people, good, clean races, you know, at the end of the race, people would be like, hey, you know, great win, you know, a good, clean race, that was a lot of fun, you know, it was actual racing.
Well, do you think that's because they have the player ratings?
The feedback stuff, I think that has
just
an effect
eBay.
On it. Yeah.
So. Now, did the original Xbox One, did its online have that?
I don't think so, because it didn't have, like, all the player profile stuff like it does now.
Because isn't there like 5 stars and you start at 3 and you can go up and down depending
yeah,
on how
six,
well you behave and share your clay?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, so I had a good experience with that game, and I think the feedback system has a lot to do with it. And, like, actually one of your forum members and I, we downloaded that Doom game that they came out with on the Marketplace, and mm-hmm. we played that the other day, and that was a lot of fun. And
it's like co-op, or?
Yeah, through the co-op mode.
Oh, neat.
And then we tried the deathmatch, and there was, like, no lag with it either. It was really good.
Cool.
And
well, you know, how about this? Xbox Live, we probably sound like we work for Microsoft, but we actually don't, even though Jones is IT.
It's just we actually have experience with it, so that's probably why we talk about it a bit more.
Right, because nobody has played these other two systems. Well, they have, but not us.
Yes.
What was I going to say? Oh, yes. Check this out. Xbox Live costs money, which means your account is tied to your credit card.
Yeah.
So they know who you are. If it's free, you're anonymous, so you can do all the hacks or elite BS you want. Do you think that is a factor?
It could be, too. That's a good point. And it is interesting, too, with the online stuff, like having your credit card in there. It's kind of dangerous in a way, you know, because it's like there's this little blue button down there, a little X button. You click your X button, and it's add Microsoft points. And then you just go and click a couple more times, and it adds points to your account and charges your credit card. And
yeah.
I mean, that's
it's not that much worse than anything on the internet. Like, look at iTunes, bam.
No. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like they've made it so easy, which, you know, of course is what
isn't
they want to do.
Exactly, that's the point.
But yeah, so it's I've downloaded a lot of the Marketplace stuff too, and but yeah, it's been good experiences, and like the Test Drive Unlimited game, you know, I've had good experiences playing that online. You know, usually you'd think that driving games are where you're gonna have the most problems with that, but I don't know. So far, you know, probably 99% of the people I've run across online on the 360 have been good, clean players, haven't been, you know, pulling any crap or anything, cheating or being little brats or whatever, you know, so it's...
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that will be the case on the PS3 and the Wii, but we'll see, I guess.
Right.
So the bad taste that I've had in my mouth over online gaming has kind of gone away to a certain extent now. In the past 6 months or whatever, so.
Cool. Yeah, I've never really tried online gaming with a console, although I don't see why it would be that difficult.
Yeah.
Sometimes the options, like for finding games, look a little limited compared to a PC, which I've had experience with, you know, playing games on PC using AllSceneye or whatever they use, or
yeah.
Even the built-in browser on games, which usually sucks, seems more robust than... You know, join Xbox Live game. It's like, well, okay. I mean, it's easy, but for a person like me, it seems a little sparse in how it works. But I'm sure it works fine.
Well, there are some cool things. Like, I found out, like, with Xbox Live again, me and the guy from your forums, we were playing that Doom game, and then we kind of went our separate ways at a certain point. But I found that you could actually still do voice chat. Like, I could go off and play Test Drive Unlimited, and he could go off and play Geometry Wars, and we could still be carrying on our conversation through the headset, even though we weren't playing the same game anymore. Which I didn't even realize that was possible.
Skype killer?
But I was like, hey, this is pretty cool, you know, if you just wanted to talk to your buddy, you know, overseas or just across the country, whatever, and maybe you didn't have the same game, you could still sit there and talk to each other over Xbox Live while you're playing your respective games. So I thought that was a pretty cool feature that, you know, I didn't even know was there until
How do you even do that?
You just, like, you go on your friends list, and then you say, like, you can send a message to them, and you can either say, I want to send them a voice message, or I want to send them a text message, or I want to start a voice chat with them. And so then you say, I want to do that, and it pops up a little blip, kind of like your IM does on your computer on the screen, and says, you know, so-and-so wants to start a voice conversation. And then you just go into your
dashboard
and click on the person, and boom, you're in your conversation talking to each other.
Oh, cool. I can't wait to get my own Xbox 360. Yes.
Yeah, so there's cool stuff like that. Then you get the demos, and, you know, there's like videos and movie trailers, all
but
sorts
the,
of crap.
But the other demo services, wasn't the PlayStation one called, is it play called Hub, or?
Does it even have a name yet?
I've heard a few things.
Is it like some other thing that rips off Nintendo's naming conventions, or?
Yeah. And then I don't know what the Nintendo one is called. It's probably called C, or some letter with two I's after it.
Weenternet or something, I don't know.
No, that would refer... I looked it up. It's currently hasn't really escaped blogs or forums, which makes you question it, although apparently it came from a keynote speech that demos on the PlayStation service will cost $1. Now, that's pretty cheap, and you could probably get $1 worth of gameplay out of it.
Yeah.
But when the Xbox 360 ones are free, and while using the free Xbox Live, what is it, the Silver membership?
Yeah.
You can do pretty much everything but play people online.
Yes, so you could download demos and everything else. Yeah.
Right. And even when you pay $50 a year for it, you pay for the best online console service there is.
Yeah.
And once Sony or Nintendo proves otherwise, well, maybe that'll change, but for right now, that's a concrete fact.
Yeah. It will be interesting, too, with, like, Microsoft has this whole Live Anywhere they're talking about doing, where mm-hmm. you can be either on your 360 or on your Vista computer or on your Windows mobile device, and certain games will have this Live Anywhere functionality where you can actually interact with the games in different ways depending on what device you're on. So, like, with the Forza Motorsport 2 game that's coming out, I guess you're going to be able to... Not that I would do this, because I'm a geek, but I don't even... This is, like, beyond me for geekiness, but on your Windows mobile phone, I guess you can sit there and, like, trade cars with people or even do some customization to your cars. And on Vista,
Why?
You can do that stuff. Yeah, I know. I'm like... It's like, man, if companies thought they were having trouble keeping their employees on task before, wait till this crap gets out there, because people are going to be customizing their cars at work, you know, and hiding away in their cubes.
I think that's for the sort of person that likes to sit there and go through all their ringtones and let their friends listen to it, because apparently that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, to me that's like craziness. We'll see how they implement it. You never know. There could be some cool things with that. I'm kind of skeptical of that myself, because I'm like, you know, it's a gaming console. I go home, I fire it up, I do whatever I need to do on it, and away I go. But that's another thing that's coming down the pike as far as the
online look, folks,
stuff.
We said something negative about a Microsoft idea. Happy?
Heaven forbid.
I've got
we'll
one.
Have to edit that out.
Windows 3.1.
Windows ME.
I guess with the Wii, they haven't delivered the software libraries or whatever to the third-party people, developers, to even use the online. So none of the third-party launch titles that launched with the Wii, that was very redundant, none of them will have online, including Call of Duty 3. And a lot of the Wii titles, like made by Nintendo, a lot of them don't have online. It's only two-player online, or a lot more limited than you might think.
Yeah.
I know everyone goes on and on about the Wii having the best launch in history, and for one thing, Zelda doesn't count, because Zelda could have come out earlier this year, and they just delayed it so it could launch with the Wii, yeah. So that doesn't count. And
even if you do count it, it's like, okay, they got Zelda at launch.
And just because they've never done that before, that doesn't make it super special. But anyway, so whereas got your Xbox 360, and you took it home on the first day, and you could go on Xbox Live. Now, I know Call of Duty 2 was wanky when it first came out, but you can still do it.
Yeah.
That's better than no third-party support for another 4 months. And the PlayStation 3 sounds about the same situation, that it's going to be a while before it's really, truly online. And
well, the other cool thing with the 360 is Microsoft requires that every single game has some sort of online component to it.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think that's on the list here. Yeah.
Even if it's, like, in LEGO Star Wars 2's case, the only way it's online enabled is that you can download content, and it has the gamer score stuff,
mm-hmm.
which we haven't really talked about, but I think and I should have talked about this in the earlier thing, but when I went to buy my 360, I read about the GamerScore stuff and found out that it doesn't really mean much of anything. It's just basically you get these achievements in the games and your score builds up, whatever, and I'm like, well, what the hell's the point of that? But then I got my 360, started playing it, and it kind of makes you keep playing the game. It kind of helps with getting your $60 worth out of it, because you're like, ooh, if I play it just another hour, I can get this achievement, or whatever, you know, and then I can compare it with my friends, you know, I can be like, hey, I got that, you know, and it does sound dumb, I know, and I thought it sounded retarded too, but when I actually got into it, it does drive you to play the games more and get more out of them, because
Speaking of requirements, I believe Xbox Live Arcade games also are required to have, like, persistent rankings or something like that.
Yep.
So it's kind of along the same lines.
Yeah, they all have ranking systems, and they all have achievements, too, so...
Well, I mean, as long as you have a basic framework for how things are supposed to work, and then at least you know all the games are going to have that. I mean, the PS2 had online support, but you had to have the adapter, and the game company had to support it, and you had to play on their servers, and it was a lot looser, and this is pretty solid. And I'm sure, you know, both the PS3 and the Wii will have their own, you know, server system. Isn't that what they're supposed to have?
I believe so.
We'll see how they do, but from the things we've heard, I would not be surprised at all if Xbox Live continued to be the best online console gaming experience. Now, how do you think that will affect sales of all three consoles? I mean, how into that do you think people are now or in 2 months?
Well, I think a lot of... I'd kind of aim it more at the younger people, like probably people in the 15 to 25 age range probably care more about online gaming. Like, you and me, neither of us really give that much of a crap. Like, for me, it's not a determining factor in buying a system, I guess, the online component.
Yeah, I'd agree. I really don't give a crap.
Even though Xbox Live has some pretty cool functionality, and I wound up, you know, getting the gold.
Having online features is cool, you know, like demos and whatnot, but if you mean playing against other people...
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I'd rather have you and Dave and Dale come over and we all...
Throw
in Call of Duty 2 or whatever, and we all sit there in the living room and play it together.
I mean, I've had fun playing video games online, but it is a lot more fun to play with your friends.
Yeah.
However, I'm not getting a Wii.
Oh, come on. Of course you
because
are.
Because Nintendo does not have a patent on playing video games with your friends in the living room.
They don't?
They'd like you to think they do. Because, you know, they invented innovation.
That's right. There's a little trademark after it, the word innovation, and Nintendo owns that, so... Yes.
I mean, look at it this way, folks. I mean, what if you went all over the internet and for an election and never saw any negative thing about one of the candidates? That would never happen in a million years. So why are game consoles different?
Yes.
You know? Someone's got to have a dissenting opinion, and that someone is us. That's us. Yeah, that's American school system for you.
And like with the online stuff, like the one thing the Wii has, I guess that the other two don't, which again for me is a non-factor in purchasing decision, but for some people it might matter, is that you'll be able to browse the internet on it. Which me, I've got a computer to do that. But,
with higher resolution.
Yeah, but I mean, for some people that could be a selling point, is that it'll be able to do that, but... And people have brought that up, and I'm like, well, you know, there's this other game system that came out, what was it, 7 years ago now, called the Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. It was out for about, what, 2 years before it folded?
Yeah, and it had an internet browser that came with it and everything, and I think I used it twice.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, a DVD playback would probably be more useful than an online browser. Yeah.
But for some people, it might be a selling point. I mean, but I haven't seen a keyboard for the Wii. So I don't know how you're going to be putting in all your web addresses.
I believe it has some USB ports.
So you would be able to plug in a keyboard then, probably.
Right.
Because otherwise, I can't imagine trying to type in your URLs and everything and navigating around.
Well, there's probably a handwriting recognition built into the wand.
Wand.
You know, like when you're a kid and you try to write words with sparklers?
Yeah,
that's how it's going to work.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Carpal tunnel.
I'm surprised people still listen to these things. I mean, we're so one-sided, but... hey, maybe they like the fact that we're different.
It could be. We're going to have to run out to GameStop, though, to be able to actually play one before launch, I guess.
Oh, that's right. GameStop is the only retailer that's going to have demo kiosks.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
I thought that was interesting that, like, the big thing with that is that Walmart won't have any. I mean, they're the biggest retailer in the world.
Right. If you don't think no Wii demos at Walmart will hurt it, you are wrong, period.
That's a big thing because, you know, that's where a lot of your middle class and lower middle class families go.
A.K.A. most of America.
Yes. And, you know, the kids run off to the toy, or not to the toy department, the electronics department, you know, and if there's a demo there.
Yeah, you know, Steven Spielberg might take one of his kids to FAO Schwartz and they'll have, you know, like a golden crusted Wii that they can try. But, you know, for Joe Sixpack, who we keep talking about, nobody else does.
Yes.
Like, what the hell is that thing there on the shelf? Looks like an Apple product. Come on, Maybell!
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's kind of a... It's a bit of a big deal, I would say. It'll...
Well,
if
it's
people
not,
can't
so
play
it... Best Buy is not going to have it? Or?
Nope.
So we've got to go to that stupid GameStop up the road.
Yeah, that piece of crap.
Okay.
Oops, wait, no.
When I was 19...
I love GameStop.
When I was 19, I worked at a Funko Land, like one holiday season. It was the best job ever. But a lot of has changed since then. Now the stores are... I think the walls are actually made out of games. You ever been in there lately?
Yeah,
it looks like a TGI Fridays. And, of course, that's the place where an employee actually told me that the Xbox 360 had chip smashers in it that would destroy the processor if I took it apart. Honest to God.
I guess you proved them wrong.
Yeah.
And they never have the games you want, and the used games they have, they sell for like $10 less than a new one. It's like...
Right.
I don't understand, but whatever. So,
man, where were we even? Oh, yeah, we were talking about online stuff,
yes. Got a little off topic, but
what's your take on the Wii not having an Ethernet port?
I just don't understand that. I guess maybe they were looking at it like, you know, most people in their home, they've got their little Linksys router sitting next to their cable modem, and their computer's hardwired in, but then everything else in the house runs off wireless, which may be the case in a lot of people's situations, I don't know.
Well, like here in this place... If I had an Xbox 360 on the living room TV, it would be very handy to have wireless.
Yes.
However...
But you should have both options.
You can't just assume that's what everyone's going to do.
Yes.
Because a lot of people probably have their cable modems near their TV because that's usually where the cable comes into the house.
Yeah.
Thus, Ethernet's probably not a huge big deal. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm sure Nintendo did some market research and, you know...
I'm sure they got their reasons for doing it, but
right.
It just seems... Odd, I guess.
Yeah, of course, you know, when you're paying $100 for a Xbox USB Wi-Fi adapter, that's a bit odd, too.
That's ridiculous. This is one of the $100 one is the reason why I haven't bought one yet. Mm-hmm. But when I get my basement finished, I'm wiring my entire basement, so I'll be able to just plug my little old Ethernet cable in, and away I go.
Right. So, okay, we probably need to get on to topic three here. Soon, because I'm sure it's going to be quite a fun fest. But in general, do you think just good online stuff in general will help a console in the future? Do you think it's going to be a significant selling point?
Oh, yeah, it's the way of the future, I think. And especially with, like, you know, the previous system, they had a little bit of content download stuff on the Xbox, but not a lot. But especially with how they've expanded it with the 360's version of Xbox Live, where it's not just playing against people online. There's a lot of other things you can do. And I'm sure with the PS3, and like we know, the Wii's going to have its virtual console thing where you can buy overpriced 15-year-old games and download them again for the 15th time or whatever, but which is great, you know, whatever. But at least it's added functionality that hasn't been there in systems in the past.
Right.
And I think it's only going to continue to go that way in the future. And, I mean, the internet, you know, it's exploded in the last 10 years. And
well, would you have a computer that wasn't hooked up to the internet?
Yeah, exactly.
We moved in here, like, what, a week ago, whenever it was?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was a long week. No, I'm sorry. It was 2 weeks ago. Week and a half ago.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. It was like a nonstop barrage of moving and sawing. And, anyway... I think I moved in here, and I moved in and had my computer set up about 3 days before we actually had the internet hooked up. And I, you know, stole Wi-Fi systems from the unsuspecting neighbors using my laptop. But my big computer, you know, couldn't go online, and it's just it was like a paperweight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of stuff with it, but the thing is, if you're sitting there and you're, even if you're doing something like this, you know, you might want to go online or something.
Yeah.
You don't even think about the fact how much you go online until you can't.
Yes.
Kind of like that one song about not knowing what you got till it's gone.
Yes.
So I would agree that it's important. I would, you know, once I get my Xbox 360, which like I mentioned before, I plan to get one like late November after Microsoft releases its inevitable surprise.
Yes.
You know, price drop or more likely package bundles, deal.
Yeah.
Like two controllers would be awesome. Two wireless controllers. But anyway, I'll try to, you know, make a USB adapter out of spit and tinfoil like I usually do, and you know, get on the internet, Wi-Fi on the TV, and play around with that, because I think I still have an Xbox membership. So, yeah, I think it will be kind of important, and the key will be which company can have the best online service, and that could be the keys of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Even though we already think we know who's going to have the keys of the kingdom. I think it's so funny that everyone thinks that when you can't buy a PS3, you're going to instantly buy a Wii instead. They have completely like counted the 360 out for some reason, which I don't quite understand.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo themselves even admit that they're not really in competition with Microsoft or Sony. Like, I've read that with executives where, you know, they say, you know, Sony and Microsoft are kind of off in their own battle, and of course Nintendo wants to get market share, but they realize that their system isn't in the same league or really all that similar to what the 360 and the PS3 are, which I think any rational person would make that statement.
Okay, you probably got your first Nintendo the same year I did, didn't you? 1988, Christmas?
87, I think, is I got mine.
Okay, yeah. What if your mom would have brought you home a ColecoVision instead? How mad would you have been?
Probably have been ticked.
I remember back then my mom, at Christmas, said she almost got me a Master System. I was like, you know, I almost had a 12-year-old heart attack. Oh, wait, I was 13. I would have had a 13-year-old heart attack. It's like, what happened, doctor? I almost bought him a Master System.
But then I got my Genesis just a few years later.
Yeah.
Which ruled, so.
Well, we'll see. I think it'll be interesting. I just wouldn't count out that Xbox 360 yet, because
no.
It's proven itself, which other systems haven't yet to do.
Yeah.
And the PS3, I think, will do well, too. I know we've already discussed this, so we should move on.
Yeah.
Okay, well, since we're kind of talking about the future, our third topic is games of the future. We don't mean like 5 years from now. We mean like 10 or 20. What would be really cool in the future? My opinion is the two things that will mainly change with video games in the future is the controls will be different, and there'll be the online component will be much more integrated. It'll be even, I would say, the majority of games in the future will be massive multiplayer online games. I think that will just take over.
Yeah, like even games like they've got like that Scarface game and Godfather game coming out now, you know, and you could see where in the future, or even like the next Grand Theft Auto, you could almost see where you could go into this world and it would be populated by a bunch of other people instead of just AI characters running around.
Well, you know, they have that already. This little thing I've heard of, what's called World of Warcraft. Something. Yeah. Well, apparently the South Park tonight's going to be about World of Warcraft, the season premiere. Can't wait.
Well, like Test Drive Unlimited, I touched on that earlier, but that's one of the neat things with that is, you know, you're driving around and there's still a lot of computer cars running around, but there's a lot of humans driving around, too, so it's kind of neat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You see, like, a Corvette Z06 coming down the road, and you're like, oh, cool, that's like another person actually driving that down the road, because you see their little name above them and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think that'll get even more out there as things go on, and perhaps even we'll get to 3D-type stuff in 20 years or something. And
well, there's no reason they couldn't do that now. It'd just be too expensive.
Well, yeah, affordable 3D, I guess I'll say.
Right.
Where you don't have to be like Steve Jobs or Bill Gates to be able to do it, you know. So.
Well, how about this? I mean, there will be a time in the future when they will actually be able to plug into your brain and do it like the Matrix. And that sounds speculative, but it will happen. It's just a matter of time. But that's a long ways down the road.
And I think we'll be dead by that time. Thank goodness.
I don't know. We might still be alive. That'd be awesome. I'd totally go for that. I'm like, I'm going to play this game, Shiny. I'm going to kick your ass, noob. But maybe more in the short term, how about this? How about a VR helmet, right?
Yeah.
And it has two lenses, and it has a good field of view, like a normal field of view. I'm not exactly sure how they do that. You know, so you don't, you're not looking at a square floating out in a black background. It actually takes up... virtual, boy. It actually takes up your whole field of view.
Yeah.
And it would require an insane resolution. But, you know, they'll do it eventually.
Oh, yeah.
And then how about this? How about virtual reality gloves? What do you think?
Could be interesting. I don't know. It's kind of like what we talked about with the Wii, where, you know, it, the Wii in theory is a good idea, but it's like it doesn't have the whole virtual reality component to it. But if you had the helmet like you're talking about, then having like the controls where you move them around,
right?
That might be a more interesting idea.
Well, yeah, the Wii is like a step in that direction.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm just wondering if it's... Well, I think with the controller, it recognizes gestures, but it couldn't actually draw a picture of itself in 3D space.
No.
And it only knows the position. I think I finally get it figured out. It's got some sort of like little camera in the front of it or something. And the sensor bar, which Nintendo never mentions, has LED, infrared LEDs. So the camera actually senses the position of the LEDs relative to itself, and that's how it tells where it's pointing, which means it doesn't really know where it's pointing unless it can see the TV. So, you know, that could work for, like, sword movements. But what if you had, like, virtual reality gloves and all the fingers were wired and they basically replicated your hands in 3D space mapped in front of you to a 3D virtual helmet? I mean, you'd be basically there.
Yeah.
And you could, like, pick up a can. Of course, how do you do the,
the grasping of it.
Or like, how do you restrict your fingers so that you only, like, go like 2.5 inches or whatever diameter can is.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you could have like little reverse servos in it that could actually move your hand around or whatnot.
Yeah.
Of course, how would you push against a wall? Maybe it could vibrate, but if they did something that worked, that would be tits.
It would be cool, but
of course, how do you walk around?
That's the other problem. Is like I watched X-Men: The Last Stand last night, and they had the scene in the danger room where all this, you know, stuff's
going on. Was that any good?
Oh yeah, it was really good. It's not quite as good as the first two, but it's... Considering it was by Brett Ratner, it was quite excellent for, by his standards.
Okay, so they're in the danger room.
But they're in the danger room, you know, and all this shit's blowing up around them and whatever and blah, 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 and they're all running around doing stuff, and it looks like a totally real world, and then they get done, you know, and they start walking off, and then you see everything fade away, and you see that they're in the danger room.
Oh, you mean like holodeck?
Sure.
On Star Trek?
I don't know. I don't watch Star Trek because it's crap, so.
Oh!
I had to drive that nail in. But,
Now I know how the Wii fans feel when they hear this podcast. So there you go. Now I felt the pain.
But it, you know, there were walls around it, you know, and I thought about that when I was watching it. You know, it's like, well, how did they stay within the boundaries? You know, do they actually have kind of barriers there that look like they're real barriers, like the side of a building mm-hmm. or a big pile of boulders, whatever, that they can't get across. But otherwise, you know, you'd be, like, running around thinking you're, you know, running to the Boston Marathon and then you run into a wall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe you'd have a treadmill or something. You'd have to have, like, some sort of strange right. treadmill that you could walk in different directions
well,
on and things.
How it works in Star Trek is the holodeck creates miniature force fields and projects them into space, and that's what causes you to not, you know, that's what causes how to simulate a physical object. How is that for... Now I sound really geeky.
You Trekkie.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, but let's say, you know, also, this is going to sound bad. You know, if you were, like, sitting down in the game, you know, if you're, like, in a wheelchair or something, you know, no offense to people in wheelchairs, but then just having your hands would make sense. And
yeah.
if you, like, just kind of zip around, but that's not what really people want. You know, they want to do the full movement. So, yeah, the hands are one thing, but how do you replicate the movement? Because you're sitting in a chair or whatever yeah. you do.
Well, like for me, you know, like we've talked about the Wii before and like...
Oh, no, there it is again.
My complaint about the Wii and, you know, your complaint as well is, you know, you're going to be sitting there waving your arm around, doing whatever. Are you really going to want to do that for more than like 10 minutes? You know, and so like with this sort of stuff, it falls into the same boat for me. I mean, it would have to be, like you say, you know, tits for me to really get... interested in it. Otherwise,
but
if
you had gloves that were replicated perfectly with some sort of like force feedback, even like, you know, it could like stop your fingers from closing around a pop can so you felt like you're actually holding it and whatnot.
Yeah.
If it was done well, you got to admit, it would be awesome.
It would be cool, but I still don't know how much I would play it, is the thing. It might be the sort of thing where I'd play it for a half hour or an hour. You know, it's not like now where I go home and I veg out for 2 or 3 hours playing whatever game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you've got all, I mean, I'm a lazy-ass American. I like to sit in my chair, you know, and just kick back and mash buttons or whatever, you know, and I don't want to be, like, working
like punching
when I'm trying to relax, you know. It's like, yeah. I work all frickin' day long. I don't need to do this. So it'd be, I think it would be very interesting, and if you get into that sort of world, I would be much more interested in it, but I don't think I would play it as much as I play, like, today's consoles, I would say.
It seems to me something like that could also be very addicting.
Could be.
I mean, I know I just contradicted what you said, but...
Well, I could see where you're...
You'd be, like, in a whole other world. I mean, people already play a lot of World of Warcraft, and if you made something that was conceiving facsimile of the real world, and but you could... Conceiving, but you could do whatever you wanted.
Oh yeah, I can see where you're going. Like you could almost kind of live in that world.
It'd be playing kind of
like,
ours.
It'd be kind of like Strange Days or whatever. But it's like, you know, where you'd almost want to be in that world more than your real world.
Right. People would come home from work and jump right in this. And
I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, if they made like a cool old West game like Oblivion, I'd be into that, because I love, like, westerns and stuff like
oh,
that,
yeah,
so I think
too.
That'd be cool, you know? Or even a game like Oblivion, it'd be pretty wild, you know, I'm at work, you know, dinking around with Vista 84,000, you know, 15 years from now.
No, just Vista 1.
Yeah. and I come home.
If it's out.
Yeah. You know, 10, 15 years from now, and I come home, you know, and I can jump into this medieval world, you know, and go and be in my guild. And instead of like an Oblivion now where it's just computer players, the other people in the guild are actual other humans.
Mm-hmm.
That could be pretty cool.
They can even create the quest. They're like, you know, you go do this or you take out this guy or whatever. And
so, I mean, things like that would be, that's the sort of stuff that I think would get me interested. But just like the whole thing where it's like, if the whole draw was just, oh, you get to, you know, move around and do these things.
Well, that is a tech demo.
Yeah, so I wouldn't get that interested. But if you get into more of that real role-playing type stuff like that, that could be pretty wild.
Well, something else that would be cool, I mean, we've all hated this in video games. Like, this door is closed, and to open it, you need this key, or you have to do this. I mean, what if in the game you could use your virtual gloves, and you could, like, build or use an object as you wanted.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I don't have a gun. Okay, I ripped up this branch and I whacked a guy with it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that would require a lot of programming.
Yes.
Of course, we're talking down the road, so obviously computers would be super fast by then. So it would be all right. But, yeah, if they could work something like that, and that would be really neat.
Yeah, that'd be pretty wicked. Because everybody dreams, you know, like, I'm a big freaking geek, I'll admit it. It'd be cool if I could go and actually be in the Star Wars world and run around. And, like, you'd probably like to be able to go on the Enterprise and go on missions or something.
I like your Old West idea better.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm
the
not
Old
that
West,
big of a geek.
I mean, the Old West would be awesome, but I mean, it'd be cool to be able to go on to Mos Eisley, you know, and see Watto at his shop and all this crap, like, actually live it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be cool. I mean, I'm not going to deny that I would definitely think that would be pretty sweet.
You know, it's entirely possible that 100 years from now, that's pretty much everyone will live in a virtual world like that, and then robots will just like do the daily operation of the planet.
Yeah.
Wasn't it in The Time Machine or something like that? Wasn't it? The book? Not the movie.
Which movie? there's something to that effect somewhere in there, I think.
Oh, man, we're getting into books now.
Yes.
This is hardcore.
We are extreme.
Yeah, so I think the main thing is, you can, arms are easy to replace, but how do you replicate the rest of your body movement, like legs and whatnot?
Yeah.
What's a convincing way to do that in a game? Because it seems like there'd be a easier way to do that convincingly than the Matrix, you know, switch to a different reality through your nervous system or however that was supposedly working.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Well, maybe I should get to work on that in my basement.
Yes. You've got all that room now. You should.
Well, not as much. I fill it up with, like, I build as much furniture as I can, like shelves, any piece of wood I find laying around. Kind of like Kevin Costner in Waterworld.
Well, at least you're not drinking your own piss yet.
I haven't gotten that thirsty. There's still some Pepsi left. Yeah, okay, we're probably getting to the point where we should wrap this up, but any closing arguments about the games of the future? I mean, future!
I think one of the interesting things that could happen, too, with that, depending on how advanced that gets, is like with movies and other forms of entertainment, it could almost blur together at that point, where you would actually kind of almost take part in the TV show or in the movie. Mm-hmm. Probably more with TV than anything, I could see it.
Why would you want to watch anything if you could do it instead?
Yeah.
I mean, I would much rather, fight dinosaurs and jump over helicopters instead of watching, like, Jack Black or Tom Cruise do it.
Yeah. So I could see where that line would get blurred a lot there if that became a reality.
I mean, that's already happening now. I mean, look on the internet. Like, average people like me can become semi-famous.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't even happen 10 years ago, but it wouldn't happen 15 years ago. No. So, yeah, who knows? I personally think that video games will actually end movies in the future.
Yeah.
I actually think movies will end at some point. There, I said it. Instead of begins, they end.
Yeah, they're not going to be.
Well, I mean, Dale, you and Dale are that topic you're going to talk about in your podcast, like TV versus movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I think movies are already on the way out.
Yeah.
Sorry, Hollywood. Maybe if you made some good ones.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe if you didn't keep giving Uwe Boll money. Although, I guess
and then wonder why your box office is down.
Yeah.
Do the math, Atari Jaguar. All right. Well, this has been the Ben Heck Podcast, Episode 4.
Not a New Hope, though.
Yes, we tried to work in some more Microsoft bashing to even things up, but whatever. We're opinionated. Everyone is. We just don't whitewash it like other sites do.
Yes.
We are fanboys.
Give us topic ideas and things if there's other crap you want to hear us talk about. Because
yes.
We like to talk, so.
Yeah, if you want to hear other biased opinions on video game-related things or technology, send us an email with your suggestion and we'll see what we can do. Something controversial, like. DRM or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ugh.
All right. Well, did I say podcast? Oh, crap.
Zoomcast.
Zoomcast. In lovely brown. All right. We'll catch you all next time, folks.
All right. See ya.